Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you on this Tuesday, June the 2nd, 2020. Weird to say that. We are in the month of June, 15 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program, and we have got a full program today. Going to be joined momentarily in the studio by your First Ward City Councilman, Kai Mead. Next hour, we're going to be joined by best-selling author, former doctor on the Today Show, Dr. Art Euling, to talk about everything going on with COVID-19 and coronavirus and his opinions on those things. But as we do each and every Tuesday and are always glad to do on Tuesday, we start the morning by talking to Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler. Tracy, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Doing well. Tracy, I got to ask you, this past weekend, the weekend after Memorial Day, the weather was pretty good. I was out and about a little bit. Things are starting to open back up. And just my guess at this point, it looked about maybe 30 to 50% of people were still wearing masks. What's your feeling on what's going on at this point in the COVID pandemic?
I think it's really important for people to keep wearing their masks. That's our best defense to keep the virus away. And what we're trying to do is basically starve that virus out so that it will stop spreading. And so the way we do that is by not passing it from person to person. And so wearing the mask is really important. It doesn't help when just a few people are wearing it. It needs to be everybody wearing them. We're at the beginning of this trying to figure out, you know, are we going to have spikes or you know, are people going to be mostly asymptomatic? And so it remains to be seen, you know, over the next couple of weeks what's going to happen. But the virus is still here as much as it was before. So, you know, people still need to be vigilant and, you know, take care of themselves and keep each other safe.
This past weekend, we had a protest, peaceful protest in downtown Marion. Around City Hall. The estimate was about 150 to 200 people. Now, some did have masks on, but not a whole lot. When you see something going on like that, what do you think?
It makes me, you know, worried that we have that many people all together. You know, you don't want to see something that they were doing for good turn out to make somebody sick. So, I think that, you know, protesting is something that's, welcome. We've seen several protests even during the COVID. I just want people to be safe as they're doing it and think, you know, kind of farther out to their long-term health and how they can spread this to people that they don't intend to spread it to within their families. And, just think about that and make sure you're being safe.
What do the numbers in Marion look like right now?
So we have 2,668 cases. Of that number, 273 are what we would call community cases, and the rest of those are within the prisons.
Now, last week, in the last 7 days, we saw a story in the local paper about the nursing home. I believe it was Heartland Nursing Home was the nursing home they were focusing in on, and there's a big, big worry over there. What's going on over there?
Yeah, it's they're starting to see people recovering. We are up to 11 deaths at the nursing home. It's tremendously sad. It's unfortunate for their families. I wish that there was something that we could have done to prevent it. But, it's so contagious. It's so easily spread by people who are asymptomatic and don't even realize they have it. And once it gets into a facility, it's really hard to isolate it, you know, quick enough. So we meet with staff from Heartland every day. We had a call with them, facilitated a call with them and the Ohio Department of Health about infection control, and they seem to be doing, you know, what they're supposed to be doing. So I don't think it's anything that they particularly are doing that's causing such a big outbreak. It's just the nature of coronavirus.
Is there anything at this point that someone could say to someone's family, because at this point, family members are not permitted in the nursing homes, that would make them feel better? Because I think it's them who are scared to death. Even the people who have family members who have not been infected by this at this point in Heartland feel that they could be.
Yeah, I absolutely sympathize with their situation, and it's one of those things that we've been afraid of from day one, because we knew if it started making its way through our nursing homes, it was going to be bad. And I would just, you know, recommend that the families talk to the staff at Heartland, try to get some reassurance there that they are doing everything that they can, reach out and have that communication with them. They are trying as hard as they can to keep those lines of communication open. I understand, and I would be just as afraid as they are if it was my family member in there, just because it's very hard to control what's going to happen. It's very hard to control when somebody becomes symptomatic. You know, there is no treatment or a cure for coronavirus itself. So it's a very scary time.
You know, Tracy, there were posts on Facebook, now that the restaurants are open back up and the bars are open back up, and some of the posts, and I'm sure people have reported these and shot them around, people certainly look 6 feet closer than 6 feet together. I think there have been advertisements of live performances happening in some of these bars. It was my understanding that's not something you're allowed to do. Are there a lot of complaints coming in? Are there restaurants and bars that are trying to do these things that they can't do?
We certainly are getting complaints. The most complaints that we're getting are about people not wearing masks and people not being maybe 6 feet apart. So we sent an inspector out, you know, to do an investigation, and a lot of times by the time we get there, whatever the person saw has stopped happening. But for the most part, our restaurants and bars are doing everything they possibly can. You can't get it 100% right when you're in a space like that. So they're trying as hard as they can to get it, you know, that 80% right. The live music, I believe they changed the ruling, and so now you're allowed to have live music. So I think that's acceptable. But, yeah, everybody needs to do their part, and we tell the businesses a lot that you're going to get complained about. It's going to circulate on Facebook, and it's just better if you're doing the right thing. People need to feel safe when they come into your business. And for the most part, we're seeing that compliance.
In the long term, how much of this has become economic and how much of it has become about health? I certainly think in the beginning it was about health when everything was being shut down. But as you say, with no vaccine being developed at this particular point and us opening back up everything, has this become more of an economic issue?
I think it has. I think, you know, they have been trying to figure out how to find a balance between the two kind of since the beginning. And I tell people this is a disaster situation that we're in. So there's going to be economic consequences. There's going to be health consequences. That happens in any kind of disaster situation. And a pandemic is even more significant because it has such a long duration. So I think they've been trying to figure out that balance. And I think that they being, you know, the governor's office and the Ohio Department of Health, realized that they couldn't keep people quarantined forever and they couldn't, you know, keep businesses closed forever. And so they opted to take that leap of faith that people would do the right thing. Not the easy thing. It's hard a lot of times to do the right thing. And so that's kind of where we are right now. We're opening things up, and we're hoping that people will do the right thing by wearing their masks, keeping their distance from each other, only going out most of the time when it's, you know, just necessary things, and trying to get the economy restarted as safely as we can.
Do you think with the temperatures rising, now being into the month of June, that it's practical that people will continue to wear these masks, even though they should?
I hope that masks get better and more comfortable as manufacturers continue to develop them and they become, you can buy them in the stores, you know, if, once that starts to happen so that they're more comfortable for the summer. But they are hot, you know, I wear mine and my face, you know, sweats and it makes you really hot. But it's better than getting the virus. You don't know how the virus is going to impact you. You don't know what kind of symptoms you're going to have. And so I continue to hold out hope that it will become more and more normal for people to wear masks, and you'll see more and more people wearing them.
You know, Tracy, because of the decisions that have been made, as have been alluded to, for economic reasons, we keep hearing about this second wave. Do you feel that's something that's likely to happen, kind of going to happen, or not happen at all?
I think it's pretty likely that it's going to happen. It's typical in a pandemic that you see a second wave, and that's for a couple of reasons. One is because people start to get complacent. We start to come out, we start to think that it's gone, and we get too comfortable going back to our normal lives too quickly, and that allows the virus that's still there to resurface stronger. And the other thing is viruses often mutate. And so we could see several strains of coronavirus come through, and that causes more waves as, you know, people who maybe had mild cases in the beginning or were asymptomatic, you know, the strain, it will strengthen, and then those people will get sick. So I think it's very likely that we'll have that second wave.
Do you know when about this would hit?
I think that there could be something in the fall or winter, yet this year for a second wave, or beginning of next year. But I don't think, you know, they typically follow too far behind.
Tracy, do you think there's anything to the idea that when this all happened in March, we were told we have to wear masks, we have to stay home, there is no vaccine, this is life and death. And now here we are in the month of June, and that part has not changed. It's still highly contagious. We still have no vaccine, but yet all of a sudden now the rules have changed. We can go out. We can do things we did before. Do you think that's confused the public in a way, and maybe why they think it's over?
Yeah, I think that's confusing. And I think any time that you are good at doing prevention, it's a double-edged sword, and we see it all the time in public health. You prevent something from happening, and so people think it must not have been real then because you were able to prevent it. So when it didn't happen, then obviously it wasn't as bad as people thought. But what we did through March and April was we were trying to allow hospitals, doctor's offices, nursing homes, and even businesses time to start to get different processes in place to slow the spread of the pandemic. So we said, the Ohio Department of Health said, if we can kick the can down the road a little bit in terms of, you know, our biggest outbreaks, it'll give the systems time to get ready for that. And so that's what we were trying to do. So the pandemic is still out there. It's still going on. And we basically took that big spike that other states and countries had, and we turned it on its side, and we made it a slow burn, instead of a huge spike of getting our 30,000 cases all at once. So their plan worked, and it may have worked too well, because it does make people think that it's not out there when it really is.
Have you made any recommendations as far as opening the Aquatic Center, or if the Popcorn Festival should go on in the fall?
Yeah, I've talked to the mayor a couple of times about the Aquatic Center, and we talked about, you know, all of the, you know, the protocols that you have to follow, and how few people you can have in the area. And even with all the precautions, how hard it is to prevent that spread at a pool because people are not wearing their masks, and it's really hard to swim and play in the pool and have fun and not be more than or less than 6 feet from somebody. And so I recommended that they really weigh those risks, you know, and take that seriously as they thought about whether they should open up the aquatic center. And I know he was looking from it from that economic perspective too, of not being able to pay for the pool to operate with half of its capacity. So I know it was it's a really, really hard decision, and you want to have that for kids to do, but just trying to weigh that, you know, risk. You know, a lot of times at the pools, parents aren't there, you know, it's kids by themselves, and so a lot more transmission is likely.
And the Popcorn Festival?
I haven't really spoken to anybody about the Popcorn Festival, but I think that it's the same way. You know, that many people in such a small place downtown, there's absolutely no way that you could social distance. Everybody's, you know, right on top of each other for that. So short of waiting to see, you know, how the summer goes and whether, you know, we're in the middle of a second wave or not, you know, if I had to make up a decision, if it was my decision to make, I would say we, you know, shouldn't have it just because that many people in such a small space, you know, you're bound to have a big outbreak.
And Tracy, final question today. We now certainly are getting very close to the official start of summer on June 21st. It feels like we're already in summer. What are these 3 months going to look like?
I think we'll continue to see stuff open up. I do think we're going to continue to have outbreaks, smaller outbreaks, hopefully, and, you know, flare-ups and things like that. But, you know, and I think, you know, we could be headed toward that second wave in the fall. So I think you're going to see a lot of businesses, schools, the government, all trying to figure out how to continue to open things up and keep things as safe as possible.
Mm. It's all very interesting. Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler, we always thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday, Tracy.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Always interesting to hear that information, and we are in an interesting time, and we're going to switch gears here. We're joined in studio by the Democratic First Ward Councilman here in Marion, Kai Mead, a good friend of this program. Kai, how are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Now, you just heard everything that Tracy Kinsler said, Health Commissioner, and we've had questions already on Facebook this morning coming in, so I want to ask you the questions that everybody wants to know. The mayor has talked about it on this program. I was told, I won't say the name, but by somebody in public, that the Aquatic Center is definitely not opening this year. This was another councilman. What's going on with the Aquatic Center?
So there's nothing set in stone yet, but from the last committee meeting that we had, so last night, there was just being discussed, I suppose. And it leaned like it will not be opening this year. And that's be for a couple of reasons. One, I feel like Tracy probably said it best, but our typical average capacity or average attendance was around 335 people. And with the state's new rules, we can only have about 125. That mixed in with we really don't think that it's likely or possible to maintain 6 feet a social distancing, and just the financing of everything, we would have to actually hire in, while we're keeping a shorter capacity, one that's much, much smaller, we would have to hire in extra people to make sure that everyone's following the 6 foot rule and everything like that. So for us, it became a decision, a potential decision, I suppose, of making sure that we do the right thing now so that we can have many, many more good years with the pool from a financial standpoint and a safety standpoint.
Being that we're already now a week and a day past Memorial Day, which would have been the weekend that it would have opened, with what you just said, what are the chances it's going to open at this point?
If, you know, guess
would be the holdout that would say, would turn this around and say, with all that being said, we're going to open this thing?
You know, I don't think there is a specific holdout. My only hesitation is just you never know what could change. But right now, if I had to put money on it, I'd put my money on it not opening. Just because we've already missed the biggest, one of the biggest weekends for it and things like that. And, you know, when it comes to the pool and when it comes to stuff like this, money is not the biggest issue, you know. But we also are looking out for people's health and things like that. And I've got, I guess I have my eye on the on making sure that we can hopefully get things right for something like the Popcorn Festival to occur or something like that. But we're not on that page yet. But let's just, you know, this is a tough decision, but it's just the right one. And I think there wasn't a single council member that wasn't, you know, sad to say, like, it's not right this summer, but also agreed that it's, the state is kind of binding our hands here.
So at this point, just so we know where we stand, because a lot of people are curious about this, because we already would be in aquatic season at this point, aquatic center season, is, so there are no council people at this point who are saying, we must open this up. The mayor is not saying, we must open this up. There is nobody who's coming in with any advice that's saying, we need to open this.
There's not a single council person, to my knowledge, that has vocally said, we must open up this pool.
When do you think we will get the final verdict on this?
That I'm not sure of. Honestly, I'm kind of at the point where I've figured that it was going to happen last night, but I think that it's the sooner the better, because it's I think it's helpful for me to say, you know, we're probably not opening, but I think if people are just more would just be a little bit happier with a definite final verdict on an issue like that.
And just very quickly, because we talked about it there with Tracy, the Popcorn Festival, I know there has already been a meeting with the mayor and the committee. No final decision has been made on this. Tracy leans toward, from a medical perspective, not doing it. When you hear what Tracy has to say, our health commissioner, and you also look at the economics of it, what's your thinking at this point? And we are 3 months away.
The 3 months away thing is kind of what sticks in my mind the most. I trust Tracy, and I think that she makes a lot of really good points, and I think that we're probably going to lean on what she says at the end of the day, but I also think that let's give it a minute. Let's wait and see how all this plays out, because we could get that second wave, but at the same time, let's just make sure that we're making we're not in a hurry, and we're just really thinking things through and making the best decision. Maybe we could potentially still have a popcorn festival in some limited capacity or something like that. Let's make sure that we visit all the ideas, but also, Tracy knows a heck of a lot more about this stuff than I do. So at the end of the day, I think that we're going to lean on what she says more than my word.
You were elected in November. It took till December to find out. One vote won the election. It was a very interesting story. You are the youngest councilman ever elected, we think.
Do we think?
We think. as far as we know, there are no records that say otherwise. Yeah. So you come in 3 months, we have the worst pandemic in 102 years. What's that like for you?
I think it makes for a little bit of a sad but interesting experience. It just makes you kind of, I feel like it sets the playing field kind of even, because everyone's all of a sudden in their first term of dealing with this kind of thing. So I just wanted to make sure when I got in there that after 2 years, whether or not you agree with what I'm doing or you don't, you won't be able to say that he didn't do anything. And so that's why one of the biggest things that I'm pushing right now is like a small business appreciation day. We're gonna do things for speeding in the first ward. You're gonna think I after 2 years, I want people to think that he worked his butt off. And you know, not every single thing is gonna have 100% consensus agreement, but you'll see at least a vision of attempting to make this ward a better place.
And that's why you came in today. There was something going on in City Council during this pandemic that you had helped spearheaded to do with small businesses. Tell the audience how this came about, what happened, and where we are now.
Well, when you're dealing with the pandemic, it's kind of a delicate situation. And so I was just sitting there thinking about, you know, watching all of these businesses close, and some of them close permanently, and I was thinking, we cannot have this happen in Marion. We can't. It just, after all the growth we've seen, all the hard work we've seen, local community leaders, local business leaders put in, we've got to do something to make sure that they can survive this, or you know, come back strong, or at least, you know, have some faith that there's going to be, like, there's the sun's going to come up on this type of thing. So what we decided, or what I decided to do, was make a Small Business Appreciation Day. It's June 20th, and it's going to be annual. So it's always going to be the third Saturday of June, Father's Day weekend. And the idea is that Father's Day weekend is, people spend a lot of money. People go out to eat. They just, it's a good spending weekend. So let's make sure we have that money spent locally to really help our local businesses, you know, get them back on their feet a little bit. Do I think that it's just going to be, it's going to fix all our problems? No, but I think it's a step in the right direction. And I think that, you know, it's better than not doing anything. And I, to me, that's your biggest job on council, is to be active, to help, you know, your constituents, the local businesses and things like that, help them, you know, thrive, help them bounce back. And when people are crying out for help, whether it's that small business or individuals in general, as an elected official in general, your first job is to listen. So really what we're trying to do is spread the word about this Small Business Appreciation Day. So, because the more people that know about it, the better it's going to be, the more successful it's going to be. We've got banners that are going to be hung up in the city, two of them, and then we're working to get the electronic billboard up downtown. Hopefully we can get that done, so look for those. There's going to, you'll see posters and windows of some small businesses in regards to it. So we're really trying to get this thing up and running.
So this is just a weekend, Father's Day weekend, in which we encourage people to go downtown and support the small businesses.
It's the Saturday of Father's Day
the
weekend.
The day before.
Yes. Yeah. But I'm sure that if you go on a Sunday or the Friday before, they won't mind either.
Do you think that, well, what have you heard from business owners during this pandemic? Small business owners.
You know, from the few that I've talked to, they just, you get a sense of fear. There's a little bit of anger, but I think it stems a lot out of the fear of, you don't really know what's going to happen. And I don't think that, I think business owners are an independent breed. They like to do their own thing. And so anytime that someone comes along and kind of tells them what they can and can't do, for better or worse, it doesn't mix well. And so from some of the small businesses that I've talked to have said, we can probably get through this year, but maybe not next, and things like that. Or this shutdown has really, really hurt us, but I don't know if we can do another one. And just things like that. So really what I'm trying to do is just help in any way possible, get some revenue flowing for them, at the same time making sure that it's at no cost to the taxpayer. So the city has not paid for any of this stuff. The banners were donated by Lapley's, and I'm extremely grateful for that. And in terms of like just materials and stuff like that, I've just completely paid for that out of my own pocket, because I just want to make sure that, at worst, I think that this is going to go like fantastically, but even if this completely flops, it's no harm, no foul, in terms of, you can't say that, oh, he spent taxpayer money on this or anything like that. This is just completely, any extra dollar that goes to small businesses makes this a win.
To you, what would make it a success and what would make it a flop when it's over?
I think it'd be really difficult for this to end up a flop. But I think that a success is just people talking about it and you know, exercising their ability to go out and support their favorite local business or a new one that they haven't tried yet or something like that. And then hopefully from year to year we can grow on it and make it a bigger and bigger thing. I think that one of the biggest portions of this is that it is annual. So this isn't just like a one-time celebration type of thing. We were really missing, I felt like, a summer version of like this small business push. And I think that for some businesses, summer can be kind of a dry period.
In your ward, the fairgrounds resides. No fair this year. What do you make of that?
It's really disappointing to see. I'm a big fair food guy, so, you know, I'm going to have to find some fried food somewhere else, I suppose. But I think that we've really been hit hard by the pandemic in terms of what we can do, what we can't do, and things like that. So I just find it to be disappointing, I suppose.
Do you think, as you live in Marion, obviously, do you think that people think it's over now that businesses have opened back up?
I think there's a sense that people think that this is said and done. And I think that you would... we kind of need to look at this more like the fourth quarter, I guess. With we're doing good. We did good. We've got a lead, I suppose. But it's not yet over. Like, we just need to keep doing this a little bit longer, it feels like to me, to really get us over the finish line. Don't get complacent so this blows up again. And so I understand why people might think that this is, it's all said and done. But while I think that it's right to have, like, these some of our more relaxed policies, let's not get too gung-ho, I would say.
How much of this, in your opinion, has been economic and how much medical? The decisions that are being made now.
So I think it's more... I think the economic situation plays a large factor, but I think that it politically plays a really big role too, because, like, you look at other countries and their responses, and obviously they're at different sizes, there's different markets involved in these other countries, but I can't help but feel that we could have kind of had this just hard shutdown for maybe 5 weeks or something like that, kind of like what a South Korea did or something, and then just been kind of done from there, or just had a much better situation. And I think that sometimes elected officials get scared. They don't know what to do because, in their defense, this is a gigantic thing. Like, you don't plan for this. So I think that we kind of were too hesitant in our response, and now people are frustrated about, like, well, is it still a thing? Is it not still a thing? Is it, how long are we going to be doing this for? Or if I'm a small business, I'm frustrated because I have no ability to predict 6 months down the road or to really know what's happening. Some people are telling me, oh, yep, and definitely anticipate the second wave. And some people are saying, oh, it might not happen. And so I think that inconsistencies in messaging and action kind of really kind of drove this home. And then once we saw, like, the moderate to, like, slowly increasing kind of quarantining situation, I think that that just made people more frustrated, and that's what led a lot of our large damages to like small businesses and things like that.
If you were a local person and you're watching the news and you're reading the newspaper and you are following this for the last 2.5 months, do you think that there's a contradiction and a confusion in that restaurants are open, people can go out now, but yet city council, as of last night, is still meeting via Zoom? They're not getting together.
Yeah, I think that there is just this massive contradiction in terms of who gets to open and when they got to open and things like that. I work in a restaurant, and one of the biggest things I've noticed is that not all the restaurants are following the same rules or anything like that. So, I think that's a sense of frustration too, because you'll have people come in and at ours, we'll sit there and say, like, we have to follow these guidelines through us. And they'll say, well, the restaurant down the street isn't doing that. And so I think that that makes it frustrating too. And I think one of the biggest issues is there's no clear messaging, it seems like. And there's people who I feel like there are individuals who are putting out a message that I would agree with and are correct, but then if there's someone off to the side saying no, it's like, do this, then it just, as a voter or as just a person sitting at home, like, you might agree with one or the other, but you at least have that inkling in the back of your mind that maybe the other person's right about this. And so I think that you really just want to have clear messaging on something like this. It's not something that should be this political. And I think that the more you turn it into, like, this political, economic issue, that's when you're going to start having, like, a lot of many, many different views on it and how we should handle it this way or that way, when really this is just... this is a health issue.
When we look at this Small Business Appreciation Day coming up the Saturday before Father's Day, what's the reception from small businesses?
So the few that I've talked to so far have been overwhelmingly appreciative. They think it's a great idea. They're very happy to help in any way they can. There's some people who are like, can I give you a donation? Can we do this or that? And I am saying no. We really don't want to make small businesses give anything more than they have to. But we're just pushing. I'm trying to go to as many as possible and say, hey, here's what's going on. Do with it what you'd like. Because I assume that some will do like maybe a small deal around it or something like that. Or just hang a poster in your window or something like that. But the reception's been very, very warm. We've worked with the Chamber of Commerce on this. I think they're putting it out in their newsletter. Worked with Marion Made, Downtown Marion Inc. I've tried to get everyone involved in this to make sure that we can reach as many people as possible, because I trust these downtown leaders to have a better idea of what's good for their downtown or what's good for their small business or something like that. And I anticipate there's going to be a small business or two that says, I think this is a really, really good idea, but it's not a good time for me to open up. That's bound to happen one way or another. But to me, it's about putting the spotlight, but also the kind of power to do what they want in the hands of the small businesses. Because if I go around saying, you should do this and you should do that, then to me, I'm just getting in the way.
It's an interesting time, to be sure, and we talked with Tracy there about what she thought the summer of 2020 is going to look like. I think I read yesterday where they had postponed a high school prom. That now is not going to happen because of the pandemic. We've seen what it's done to graduations, college and high school, through the month of May and early June here. What do you think it's going to look like? No fairs. Are we going to have fire? I've had that question. Do we know about the fireworks? Because, you know, you can watch those without going to the fairground.
Yeah, I would hope that we at least have some fireworks going on. I don't know in terms of future graduations and things like that. I think that there will be, not in terms of graduations or anything like this, but I think that there will be some changes that we see that just people think are, like, we should have been doing this the whole time type of thing. But I have to assume that graduations are going to get back to normal sooner rather than later, just because they really, like, you don't have a graduation for the most part every month or anything like that. They're pretty, you have a smaller summer graduation, you have, for colleges, you have a fall graduation, or it's more of a winter graduation, and then you have a spring graduation for college. So I have to assume that unless we get this crazy second wave, that we should be having them again by winter. That just seems logical to me. But at the same time, you never know what's going to happen. I really feel for the people that didn't get to walk or didn't get to, you know, have that moment with their families, or didn't get to have that last dance, or get to play that last season of sports and things like that. I was lucky enough to graduate in December, graduate college right in December, right before all of this kind of got going. So I kind of missed the brunt of it, but I really think we can't predict too much, but it seems like with the path we're on, unless we receive a large second wave, that things will kind of ease back in. Don't expect it to be a rush, I would say, is my guess, but let's kind of be patient with it. And I think that it's important to keep in mind that everyone wants these things to be back. Everyone does. There's not someone behind behind a curtain saying, well, yeah, I can't wait to ruin graduation for people. Everyone wants graduations to come back. Everyone wants the Aquatic Center to be back. But we, people are put in positions where they have to make tough decisions.
And for somebody who just might have tuned in, the Aquatic Center seems to be a huge issue. And at this point, as of last night, a decision has not been made on that. But your feeling is nobody on City Council, to your knowledge, has said open it. And the mayor doesn't seem to be leaning that way, in your opinion. Or Mike Chaney, have you heard from him on this?
I've not heard from Mike Chaney, but I've heard from the mayor. When we discussed it openly on the committee meeting, I know that Kathy Swanger was another one that spoke up about it. Josh Feliciano was the council person that said, hey, let's talk about it at this council meeting. So he was kind of the person that made sure it was brought up at this committee. I would say about half the council members kind of spoke up about it in one way or another, but from the ones that did speak up, it was a consensus that it was unfortunate, but there was no... It really just was not feasible. We can't even use the CARES Act funding in regards to the pool. Like, we can't say, oh, well, you know, the pool, like, we're in a bad situation with the pool. Maybe we can use a little bit of that money that we receive from the federal government. We cannot do that. And so it just really puts us in a tough spot. We have no memberships sold. So that's another revenue hit that we take. We have, typically we go through the YMCA to get lifeguards, and they're doing their training stuff in like April, I think. Well, that didn't happen because they were closed down. And so it's just, it's not like we're not upset about it. Like, we really want that, we would really like to see it be open, but it would be foolish for us to open it up this summer.
So, and again, just for people listening, because I know it's a big thing, the final decision has not been made, but with what confidence, percentage-wise, would you say this is not opening?
I would say that with the current situation, unless there is massive changes from the state, because the state is the one that is saying you can only let 120 people in compared to the normal 123, compared to the normal 300 that we get on average, I would say that it's probably 90%.
90% that it will not open.
Yeah, That's my guess.
Very interesting. It's interesting we have you here for five more minutes, and we do want to remind people again that small business will be celebrated and promoted here in Marion the Saturday before Father's Day, so that's right around the corner. Yep. And we want people to support their small business. It's been a rough time for them. But during this whole pandemic and COVID thing, it's dominated the news, but yet other news has continued to go on, and there are some other things going on, and were going on before this whole thing hit. City Council, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong with any of this, did allocate money at one point to hire a special prosecutor to prosecute Auditor Landon for some things that went on during last campaign cycle, some documents that were distributed that some people feel should not have been distributed. Where does that stand at this point?
You know, there hasn't been a lot of talk about it lately, to be honest, in terms of, you know, council meetings and really outside it, for that matter. I think that it's just in the court's hands. It probably got backed up a little bit just because of this ongoing virus, but I think that you'll probably just see it take a little bit longer because of everything, and I think that's reasonable. Anytime you have a case like this, you don't expect a global pandemic to hit, and so I think that that's really just what's going on with it. I think that people have had their hands full a little bit, but I also have faith that, you know, the people whose job it is to handle this type of thing are still doing it and things like that, because there also has not been really a reason for it to come up on council recently either. It's out of council's hands at this point. Really, the only thing that we were doing was appropriating funds so that the prosecutor could do his job.
And this kind of got lost in the shuffle last week, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but has not now, as of recently, like the last 7 or 10 days, the Board of Elections turned a campaign finance issue regarding Auditor Landon over to the state? Is that...
The ethics, so like they're the election commission. To my knowledge, yes. So the back half of the auditor's campaign, our current auditor's campaign, was basically self-funded, is the idea, through 10 to 11, or I think nine donations of large sums of cash to the campaign is what was originally put on the campaign finance report. Then, after all this was said and done, because a lot of times these things don't even get fixed until way after election season, and that's what's kind of happening now, a second report was put forth that said, you know what, never mind, there's, like, it was actually just one payment that I made. Not the nine with specific dates listed and everything like that. It was actually just one, and it was a bank transfer, like a wire transfer. And if you, on a campaign finance report, you have to say, you have to give proof that that took place. Like, you can't just, I can't write a check to Scott Spears for $1 million, say I did it, but, like, never sign it and just show you a picture of the check I wrote. You'd say, you never gave me that $1 million. And so I think that that's what the Board of Elections is worried about. And then that, along with, I think that there's some worry of, like, well, if it was just one wire transfer, then where did the, what was with the random 9 dates throughout the election season? I think that's something that they're worried about. I think one of the dates specifically falls on a day that there was an attempt to have a Facebook fundraiser. And so, like, if I have a fundraiser, and then, but say no one gave me any money, but then put originally, the document has been updated, but originally say, like, happen to give myself, like, say $600 in cash, you would say something doesn't smell right, you know. So I think that that's kind of what's going on. That's kind of a short and sweet version of everything. We really don't know. This could just be an honest mistake in terms of maybe there was just the wire transfer campaign. Maybe the campaign finance stuff just got mixed up. But I think that it's important that it goes to the goes where it's going, just because we do need to find out that kind of stuff. Because the entire point of campaign finance is to say, who's giving you money towards your campaign? Because if someone, you know what I mean? Because you want to have that transparency in terms of who's funding your campaign, who's, you know, giving to you, and things like that. So on this issue and on the issue of the prosecutor, I am not going to, like, say it's one way or the other. It's for sure bad, for sure, you know, just complete innocence or anything like that. But I think that it's just important that we find out. And I think that I feel like that's just the most reasonable position to have. You don't want to, you know, make a judgment before anything's put out there on either of the issues. But it'd be silly for me to say, like, before there's an investigation, before there's any, like, anything that goes on with the campaign finance, to say he definitely did it or he definitely did not do it, or this is definitely the worst thing in the world, or this definitely isn't. For one, that's not my job to do. My job is to represent the First Ward, and that's what I'm going to try my best to do.
Now, remind people again, with 20 seconds left to go, about the event coming up the Saturday before Father's Day.
We're having a Small Business Appreciation Day, June 20th, the third Saturday in June. Please go support your local businesses. Look for the logo. If you like, go to the my campaign Facebook page and share the post. It's gotten over 15,000 views on Facebook. We're trying to push it out. We want as many people to know about it. If you're a small business and you want a poster, I will get you one free of charge. Let's make this a fantastic day.
Kai Mead, First Ward City Councilman, coming up next hour. Dr. Art Euling. Kai, it's always fun to visit with you.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We'll be back in 10 minutes.
Platform ever.
Because it's right on the major issues. It's right on national sovereignty. Right on jobs for America.